and boom, got desktop. It's ready. You know what? One. Oh, look at that. Damn, that is fast.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And we're pretty happy to be here.
Always.
We're
going
to go ahead and be talking about how our week went. We're going to talk about our retro game review. I'm sure. I hope some of you played this game, because we're not going to tell you about it yet. But
I played this game.
We've played this game extensively.
It has been played.
It's kind of like a crap type of a crap.
You don't talk bad about this game.
No. I'm not talking bad about it. It's like we couldn't decide which game to do. So behind the scenes, Red Bear's like, what if we talk about this game? And I'm like, yeah, of course.
Duh, because I'm always right.
We're going to talk about some news, some recent news in a couple facets. And then we're going to talk about the main segment of the show is going to be about the bad accessories for consoles and for PC and for things like that.
There's a lot of them.
So before we do all that, let's talk about the website. Bear, what's that website?
That's exppoints.com. Don't forget, double tap that P.
You got to have two Ps. We also have a Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/experiencepoints. We are doing a lot of stuff. We are uploading videos to YouTube. We've got, reviews and news and let's plays. We've got game giveaways. Please go in. If you want to play Tomb Raider.
Oh, man, are we still giving away that Tomb Raider game?
We're still giving it away. Nobody's going for it.
Man,
you don't want
Tomb Raider? What's wrong with you people?
I'm thinking,
Maybe, I bet Gabe sold it too cheaply on Steam Summer Sale.
I bet this would happen.
And everyone has it now.
Everyone bought it. They're like, well, I don't even like Lara Croft, but I guess I can't turn down.
$5.
I can't turn down a $5 game. Well, this is a $5 minus $5 game. This is a free game. All you have to do is tell us if you were on a desert island or stranded on an island, some form of an island where you weren't able to get off of it. What would be your game of choice and why? So that'd be cool. Anyway, let's go into our week. Bear, what did you do?
What did I do? I consolidated my computers to one gaming computer.
It's always good to mess with hardware.
That's always fun.
So how many gaming computers did you start out with?
Two and a half.
Is that two and a laptop? Is that what
No.
Is?
Well, I had two desktops and one that was mostly a desktop that didn't work.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. But yeah, no, I have a little tiny HTPC running a micro ITX. Turns out you can now get good enough hardware and a small enough form factor to make that a legitimate gaming
PC. Yeah,
that
used to not be possible.
That's crazy to me.
You used to not be able to get...
This thing is basically the size of a PlayStation 3.
EVGA is actually releasing some really awesome mini ITX.
Yeah.
And hardware has really come a long way.
That's what I've been working on and getting Steam all steamed up in there.
Awesome. Yeah, you have a decent internet over your way.
I do.
I'd probably take the computer to work and school internet to get it updated. I finished Infamous, the first Infamous. I'm prepping for Infamous Second Son, which is coming out at the end of March, March 25th, I believe is when it comes out, and I still have to beat Infamous 2. But Infamous 1, Infamous 2, went ahead and did some Let's Plays of some other games, posted those to the website, and I actually am playing a game right now that I'm going to start posting Let's Plays of. It's called The Swapper. I encourage everyone to go on Steam and play The Swapper. It's a cheap game. It's not very much money. But I'm not going to describe any more of it. Instead, I'm going to do an entire little review about it, and that's going to be awesome. Let's move into our retro game of the week.
That game.
Anyone, and I bet there's something on here that you didn't even know about.
I didn't know. Wow.
I know, right?
I thought I knew everything.
So let's set the scene, right? Back in 1994, Windows, we were using Microsoft Windows 3.1. That was the big operating system.
Oh, man. Now, I remember coming off of DOS onto that and off the Apple OS, because I thought Windows was the best thing since sliced bread.
Oh, yeah. It allowed you to do
it
stuff.
It had Windows.
Yeah, it actually
remember that?
Had Windows.
Yeah,
it wasn't green and black.
Yeah, that was great.
So whether you were coming from an Apple or a Commodore or a cloned, the old clone hardware.
Wow, yeah. I remember our desktop even supported CDs.
Yep.
Like, it had a cartridge you put CDs in,
and
you had to lock it down.
Yeah, the little carriage.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
So whether you were coming off of the Apple OS or you were coming off of a pre-Windows, Windows 3.1 OS, maybe you had file system, or nice Windows or whatever, you upgraded to Windows 95. And eventually you upgraded to Windows 95 Plus. Where it had icons and jungle sounds and crazy stuff.
The jungle theme.
We could
spend a whole segment talking about the jungle theme.
We may do this.
That little snake.
We may do retro computing next week as our main. We have to think about it. But
wow.
Not on the floppies, But on the CD version for Windows 95, they had a game. And if hopefully, like, people remember this, because I hate to think we're like the only
two
people
that played this one game.
Right.
So I hope we didn't.
If you back in the day, looking at the contents of a CD was much more exciting than it is today.
Oh yeah, you found all kinds of things.
Yeah,
they just didn't tell you about.
Right, right. Because I mean, like, why would they? How would they?
Not sure.
CD for Windows 95, there was this game called Hover.
Yes, there was.
Hover is our that's our game.
Amazing.
That's our game. So Hover, it was created in 1995. It featured three levels, three mazes. That one was a future city, one was a sewer, and one was kind of like a jungle type, you know, pyramid.
Is that what they were?
Yeah, that's what they were supposed to be.
Sure.
So to kind of explain what Hover
was,
you were in this like bumper car, right? Like a hover
a
car.
A hover car. Yeah.
Right. And
Hover bumper.
You didn't have any weapons.
Yeah, they actually kind of do look like bumper cars.
I don't think you had any weapons. You just ran into stuff. It was just to kind of show you, I think, Direct 3D, because Direct 3D was coming out. It was there to kind of showcase this technology, this Direct 3D technology that Microsoft had exclusively. And it was saying, hey, we've got games, and Mac doesn't have games, and we've got games, so you should get a Windows. Or a Mac, or I'm sorry, a Microsoft operating system. The cool thing about this, even though they've re-released this, they have, if you go to hover.ie, it's really crazy that .ie is actually a suffix. But
an extension.
An extension, thank you. You can play an updated version of Hover of the Hover game. However, the original Hover game will work on Windows 8.
I was just reading that.
It will work
on
Windows 7.
Like, you don't have to DOS box it or anything.
No, it'll work natively because it was built on Direct 3D.
It was built for Windows, yeah,
right.
Direct 3D.
So I remember playing this game, especially at school, because we always...
Because we didn't do work at school.
Well, you know, elementary school and junior high, we always had, like, a Windows 95 disk somewhere, because every now and then you would need a boot disk, and you would have to put it in. And the teachers didn't know anything other than... If the computer was showing that screen again, you would put that disk in, and it would be okay. Everything would be all right. You'd just be fine. And so, but we knew. I mean, at least we knew. You and I knew.
You put that game.
You put that disk in. You'd play some games.
That's what happens.
This isn't the only game that they put on. They put on Windows operating systems. I mean,
oh no,
we were talking about Ski Free before the break.
And I have a version. I have a version of Ski Free that works now.
That,
still,
that got re-released in the like Microsoft Games Pack.
Yeah,
it was like 20 games, like Chip's Challenge and
Chip's Challenge. That was one I spent way too many hours.
That was
really
Pipe Dream, Jazz Ball. Jazz Ball was another one. I know there was a couple games back in the day that like Breakout. Breakout wasn't a Microsoft game, but Breakout was the big game. And then you mentioned Pinball.
Space Cadet Pinball. I think it was Windows 2000 or XP.
Windows 98 or Windows 2000.
Really?
It was,
wow.
Yeah, it was
I'm
one of the
wow.
Because again, it was built with Direct 3D and GDI. So it was essentially there to outline a technology. Some operating systems like, oh, look at us, we got Solitaire, we got that Minesweeper, which are still around.
That Minesweeper.
Got that Hearts game. But, oh, by the way, we also have this pinball game, and it's super cool, and everyone's going to want to play it, and you're going to want to beat high scores.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's our retro – it's kind of a short retro gaming segment.
I will say, though, I didn't know this. I'm reading about it. There's one Easter egg in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When I get to the screen, hold – it says press F2 to start a game of Hover. Instead, hold Control Shift and type IBMAB, which is Bambi, spelled backwards – and you will be able, then you press F2, screen will disappear, and your hovercraft will be able to freely roam a small room with portraits of the developers.
Oh, that's nifty.
And their respective roles.
That's nice.
So that's pretty cool. That's a cool way to do credits.
It's like an about screen. Yeah, or credits. That's really good.
You can do that.
I hate that that's like an Easter egg. It should be like just the fourth level. Like, oh, you beat the sewer and the jungle and
Speaking of games and levels that retro games on Windows, how about the Maze screensaver?
Yeah,
wasn't really a game, I guess, because I always wanted to play that.
You never got to roam in it, but
just went by itself.
It was a game; it played itself. Yeah,
but like I watched it for hours. I always wanted to play that game and catch that like mouse that would run around.
I'd be willing to bet that it wasn't a real maze. Like it would only go a certain number of turns, and whenever it hit a brick wall, it would turn back and it'd be like fourth dimensionally on itself. it would just rewrite the maze to continue to not just bounce back and forth. I don't know. I've never written a maze creating algorithm. But
you know the trick to mazes.
No, I mean,
if you ever find yourself in a labyrinth, everyone pay attention. Put your hand on the right wall, keep it there, and walk, and never remove that hand from the right wall, and you'll get out of the maze.
Really?
It may not. It won't be the fastest way out,
but it'll be.
But
a
it'll
definite.
Guarantee you out.
Huh. Well,
so there you go.
If you're ever
next time you're trapped in a labyrinth, and there's a what is it, Minotaur?
If you know that there's an exit, that's the thing.
If you
can't be like, oh, I'm in this tomb. Where's the wall? And then you're like, all right, cool. And you walk in this tomb, and you're like, well, there's nothing that says there's an opening. It could just be.
If I'm trapped in a tomb, I'm going to try to find an opening. I'm going to assume there's a way out of this place.
Hopefully you have a torch. Hopefully you have a guns, pistols with infinite ammo. Looking at you, Tomb Raider.
Don't even ask how they work. Just go with it.
Nope, they just work, and you'll have a British accent. We're going to cut to a song real quick. This is The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons.
And we have.
We have inherited. You know, it happened a while back. I mean.
Yeah, well, they're letting us on the radio. Do they know that?
I hope so. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to go with yeah.
Yeah.
This is The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on 90.9 FM KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons. I think we've both agreed that sort of already is
a thing.
That's reality right now.
Welcome to it.
Really, and you know what? There's a video that was out on the, since this is a news segment, I guess I'll go ahead and talk about this video. A video was recently released. We'll link it in the show notes, but the name of the video is Things Don't Get Better. And I think it was a video to make fun, or not make fun, but to parody it on cyberbullying, where or LGBT videos, where it's like things get better, people will understand you in the future, and the things don't get better video. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but it's told from the position of like the high school bullies, and they're like, one guy's like, yeah, I had the hottest car in town, 1985 IROC Z, I still have it. But nobody thinks it's cool anymore, you know? And there's this one, it's like, everyone says I had pretty eyes and I got to pick on all the people that, you know, were geeky. But whenever I want to raise, I have to talk to those people. They are my bosses. And it's just this really funny video about how, like, the times have changed. And, you know, it's just awesome. It's fantastic. Everything about the Geeks Will Inherit the Earth is, I don't know. It's a really good song.
I love it. It's great.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. Next segment.
To kind of take that was all the news we had.
We're done.
To take a little bit more of a somber note, Harold Ramey, the actor responsible for acting in Ghostbusters as Egon Spengler in Stripes, for directing and co-writing and writing in some of these, Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day, Analyze This. Only a few small little things. You probably never really heard of them.
Yeah, I know, right?
He passed away this past weekend at age 69. Sad. So pretty bad. But you know what? He's crossing the stream somewhere else. It's going to be awesome. Or not crossing the stream somewhere else.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are saying that he only died to do more research on ghosts.
I mean, there was a video. I think it was like a Control-Alt-Delete or maybe it was Scott Johnson that drew up a video. And it's Ray and the other guy, like the other two guys.
Yeah.
And they're waving to him, and he's in the ghost trap. And he's like the ghost version of
I've
Egon.
Seen that.
And I mean, that's kind of weird
great.
In one way, but it's awesome in so many others. And Harold Ramey, a lot of people don't know, like, he was a really intelligent guy. Very awesome comedian, philanthropist, whole thing. Couldn't talk,
definitely, definitely.
Can't talk well enough. I'm sure he was a jerk to somebody at some point, but everyone's a jerk to somebody at some point. So, next up, the Fitbit.
After that, let's talk about happy news.
After that, well, it's not even happy news. The Fitbit Force, which I'm currently wearing. The Fitbit.
Oh, man, your arm hadn't fallen off yet.
Right.
You got a rash?
No.
Do you have the rash?
No, I don't have the it's not a rash. It's skin contact dermatitis, thank you.
That's a rash.
The Fitbit Force is going through an optional recall. They're no longer to make these things. Like, they're stopping production. They've stopped production. You can't really buy these anywhere except eBay now or thrift stores. And not for thrifty prices, because they still work. I mean, they're still completely functional devices, but apparently less than 2%, I think the actual number was 1.7% of users have complained that that they've been experiencing some rashes on their arm from either the metal clasp bit at the bottom or from the band, the actual rubberized band. And I mean, I'm wearing it right now. I've been wearing it for about a week straight. I take it off for showers. I wipe it down with a Clorox wipe. I have not experienced quote unquote contact dermatitis.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. With these rubberized plastics, it happens a lot more actually than you would think. Yeah. I know Canon a year or two ago had recalled one of their DSLRs because the grip on it, people were getting like contact dermatitis on their hands from holding it. I mean, it's just, I don't know, people are weird and biology is strange.
It's a little weird because, I mean, I feel like
if we didn't have these squishy human bodies, we'd be so much better.
I
one guy download into a mech.
That'd be awesome. Surrogate. You'll just surrogate.
Yeah. I'll just do that.
I feel like this thing is pretty comfortable most of the time. Once it gets broken in, like it's like a new watch band. You know, you put a new watch band on, and you've got to like let it mold to your. You got to let it get sweaty, and then let it cool down. And
do you do the thing where you sleep with it?
Yeah, I sleep with
it. Okay,
it does. It is a little annoying when I sleep with it because only about 80%. Well, I guess a little bit less. Only about maybe like 75% of the band is flexible. There's some molded plastic.
Because it has the hardware in the middle.
Right, it's got some hardware in the middle, and that makes it very rigid. And it's about the entire length of the top of my wrist. So whenever I lay and you know with my hand under a pillow, it's sort of like crushing it. And I feel like at some point that's bad for it. But you know what? They're offering a full – Fitbit is offering a full refund after about 6 weeks. You have to tell them you want to refund it or do you want to send it back in. They'll send you a return kit. You put all the stuff in the return kit. You wait 6 weeks. They get it. And then they send you a check for $130.
So – and what's their plan? Are they going to release a new version with new plastic or
– Right. So the Force will never be released again.
Okay, the Force is done.
The Force is done. And I love it because it was like, what do you have? Oh, I have the Force. You know, you've got like...
May the Force be with you.
I have the Force. It's with me.
It's with you.
It's right here.
And it's not even controlled by midichlorians.
Oh, my God. Anyway, they will be making, and they said in a press release, they will be releasing a new version of the Fitbit. Because they have like five versions out
there. Yeah,
now.
Like I'm rocking the Fitbit One in my pocket.
They got the One. They've got the
Bilbo
Flex.
Bilbo Baggins style. It's in my pocket.
They've got just so many different kinds. And, I mean,
I don't get contact dermatitis from this one.
In your pocket.
Yeah.
They're going to release a new version. They'll let us know when. And my thought is, I like the screen on the Fitbit Force more than the dots on the Flex.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Flex.
I think if...
Especially at the price point. It's kind of weird because you might as well get the Force.
Right. Well, at the time, the Force wasn't out. And certainly now it won't be.
Yeah.
So if they release something that... I also didn't like how with the Flex you had to like put it in the band and you had to take it out to charge it. Like it was this back and forth. The bands were going to be destroyed.
Well, that's one thing I always kind of wondered about because like, you know, I had the One and if they would just make a band for it, the Flex is useless.
Right.
And I mean, it comes in a silicone case itself, so you can take it out of there and just.
Yeah, I wouldn't
put it in
touch that silicone. Careful, it'll be getting contact
dermatitis. Dang it!
That's the name of this episode: contact dermatitis. Anyway, so yeah, my game plan is look at the new Fitbit model when it comes out, and if it's better than the Force or about the same, then I might as well be with the newest version, especially if it's just like 6 weeks without it. You know, I survived a few years without an activity tracker. I think I can make a couple more weeks. But
and I will say I love the Fitbit and the software and everything.
It's great. And that's
it's
the thing.
A wonderful Force, product.
The Force isn't going to stop working with the app, and it's not going to stop working with the data. Dashboard. It's going to still continue to work. So I'm going to use it until they either offer me something better or they make it a little more streamlined to return it. Or they say that we're not going to bother with making a better one. We're just going to keep it like the Flex. And if that happens, I'll just keep my Force. And I might turn it back in just to get my money back. Maybe I'll go step down to the Fitbit One. I don't need all the little bells and whistles that this may or may not have, like sleep tracking.
I think the only thing it does different is it's on your wrist instead of in your pocket.
Yeah, it's like
I think it's literally the only difference.
It's a watch also. So
I mean, well, I got a pocket watch.
Well, no, that's true. You do have a pocket watch.
I think it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's just in a different package.
Yeah.
So
Which is why I don't understand why I don't make a wristband for this.
I might switch to the Fitbit One.
I
don't know.
One.
Just depends. Save some money. Up next on news. So we played a track from iFi Dragons. They are currently in production of the near future that was called Project Atma during their Kickstarter. And then it went through a little bit of a conversion. Now the actual release name is called the near future. And on their Facebook and on their blog, they've been releasing updates about, drum tracking, bass tracking, guitar tracking, vox and vocals. They released
like they're making music.
They were making some music. They released this morning that Bill from iFi Dragons is actually going to be leaving iFi Dragons for now. It's not a
Didn't they have a falling out a little while back?
There was some issues
during the Kickstarter.
Yeah, there were. Well,
with Bill, I thought.
No. It was with Brian. Immediately after, it was just the differences in the way the creative process was being handled, and
creative differences.
Yeah, they were creative differences. Some were creative, some were different.
I like that.
That's how I usually hear it.
I'm dumb. I can't believe I haven't heard that.
But that got resolved, and Brian sort of apologized. He just kind of updated everyone. They said that we're going too fast. They felt like there was an obligation, and anyway, that kind of all smoothed over. But Bill's actually leaving for now, and again, it was in the statement, it was stated for now, not necessarily temporarily, but for now, he's done. He is leaving to go do his solo thing. He has a separate solo project called Will Post. Will Post. I actually have a signed EP from him. It's pretty cool, and we've played some of it on the show. But Panthenon, his first album, actually released yesterday. It's, I think, a 14-track or an 11-track CD. It's available on Spotify and iTunes, and we'll go ahead and link that in the show notes. It released yesterday, so iFi Dragons is now Bill-less. One less Bill.
Short of Bill.
Short of Bill. But I'm sure they'll find someone that is talented to fill, you know, his power pad shoes. And Bill was responsible for backup vocals. He was also responsible for a lot of the tracking, keyboard work, and a lot of the power pad, all the instrumental stuff that was not. He didn't play like the actual guitar. He played like a rock band guitar, and he worked.
And that was part of their music.
He made that, you know. He made iFi Dragons the way they were. Now, whether they can do that with someone else or not, I'm sure it'll be quality. But it will be different. But, you know, we're actually going to play, before we get to our main segment, we're going to play Experiment 8 from Will Post, the Panthenon album. This is Bill from iFi Dragons, Experiment 8. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points.
Enjoy.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was Experiment 8 by Will Post again. Bill from iFi Dragons.
Song.
It's like Bill formerly of iFi Dragons.
Oh, formerly. Yeah, I guess now he's since like he's Prince. Doing this.
Bill is Prince.
Bill is Prince?
Yeah, I mean, he's the artist formerly known as Bill, currently known as Will Post.
Prince?
From iFi Dragons.
So he's going to give his music out for free now?
No.
No, he's not. Bill's not doing that.
No,
I
Bill's
didn't
not
say
doing that.
That.
All right, so before we get to our worst accessories ever in the history of history, we are going to go ahead and talk about the Oculus Rift.
The best accessory ever in the history of history.
It hasn't even released yet. The dev kits are just being released. They actually ran out of materials to make the dev kits.
And they've
kits.
Stopped making them right now because they need more material.
How expensive was the dev kit?
It was only $300.
Okay, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than,
for
consoles.
For an unreleased product, that's not bad.
Right. 720p screens in it.
Yeah, was it 720?
I guess. 720p
It's low res, I can tell you that.
Looks like you're looking through a screen door, but the effect
is okay. So I actually got to be hands-on with this, or face-on with this.
Eyes on
with the Oculus Rift. Blew my mind.
You were rifted?
I was rifted.
Nice.
And it was awesome. Cool. I will get rifted every night when it comes out.
It sounds like you're on drugs. Like, gonna go get rifted,
dude,
man.
Let's totally hang out and get rifted together.
Do you even rift? Now?
No, but so I got to demo this the other day, and it was... My expectations were really low because I remember the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, we didn't do very well early on.
Yeah,
I
think we just gave kids seizures.
You know what? I expected... I remember
That's
watching...
That's what my expectations were.
I remember watching... you remember the Disney movie, First Kid, with Sinbad?
Yes.
I think it was Sinbad. And he went to the Mall of America and he played the virtual reality, sphere or whatever.
I always
wanted to play that virtual reality sphere because I thought that was the future. And then I got to Disney World and there was the 3D headsets that you put on and ride the motorcycles or whatever. And that's not the future. So
that's not. Oculus Rift is.
The Oculus Rift is the future.
And yeah, so I got to use it. So that, like you said, low resolution screens, that's my biggest complaint. But V2 is coming out at some point and they've actually fixed that with a higher res screen.
Yep.
But I was amazed at how well it worked.
I know.
Like, it works.
Before you get off of the topic of version 2, I think it's Crystal Cove.
That's the working name. Yeah.
They also added more actual head tracking to it.
There's positional strafing now.
Right,
yeah,
right. Basically. So you can turn.
The Oculus currently has motion, so if you turn your head left and right or up and down, it can sense that. But the version 2 will be able to, if you slide your head to the side, and I don't know why I keep making these motions around the mic.
Yeah, he's moving.
I'm actually, so if my audio sounds weird, I'm sorry, I'm in Oculus land.
There you go.
And yeah, it'll actually be able to detect like head slides, so you can peek around corners and stuff
like that.
That's
good. I think the only games that I know that really implement that, the Fear games. The Fear games do.
I could not imagine playing Fear on an Oculus.
I can. I can imagine being scared out of my mind.
You would be. Like, you need therapy.
I know they keep saying, you know, they've got John Carmack on the Oculus team right now.
Yeah, that's exciting. He's leading it. He's the CEO.
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing he's doing now. He left ID.
That's his little baby.
To go and do it. And you know what? That's great. I'm so happy.
I am super stoked about that.
That is a good accessory.
Man, wait till Half-Life, or not Half-Life.
Wait till Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 3.
Wait till Doom 4.
Yeah, man.
Wait till any,
I was thinking Fallout 4.
Wait till any game that uses the Oculus Rift also
comes out.
Wait till the Oculus Rift comes out because boom.
No, and I will say, like I said, low res screens and everything, but it works and it works so cool.
Yeah,
and it messes with my head a few times. Mainly, one of the demos I played, you're flying an airplane.
Right.
Well, whoever designed it modeled your arms. Now, there's no arm tracking outside of the Oculus Rift because it just doesn't. Yet.
Wait till we put some type of powered gloves or something on there.
That's probably going to be a few. Or just,
I guess a camera.
Leap motion.
Yeah, some
type
of.
If they combine the Leap motion and the Oculus Rift, dude, that'd be cool.
Nice.
But so there's no motion tracking, but whoever made this modeled the arms and put them in the positions that they would be in because you have your hand on the keyboard. So they put it in about the same position when you look down. Well, my head was itching, so I went to take my right arm to scratch my head, and I just smacked the crap out of the front of my head.
Because
my brain didn't realize my arm was moving.
Like a reality disconnection
or
whatever.
My brain thought the arm it was seeing was my arm.
Nice.
Oculus Rift is awesome. Everyone gets stoked, and give Carmack all your money.
Well, he already had a significant portion of mine. I wish I could have gotten a dev kit, but I don't like the idea of alpha hardware. I like the idea of alpha games because they update, and we were talking about that behind, during the break.
Yeah, you can't update, you're not going to get the new high-res screens.
Right. I mean, if they could just, ship me a screen for $100, yes, here's my money. Take it. I'll do that. But that's a good accessory.
Is a brilliant accessory. Get excited.
It will be
good. It's what we've been wanting.
Right. It's the future. It's here. Let's talk about the past, though, and some of the bad things that have happened. I feel like, you know
Virtual
what?
Virtual Boy.
With all of the, not bad consoles per se.
I forgot. That was an actual console, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It
was
wasn't like
console.
An accessory.
No, it was the whole
I apologize.
Thing. But when you think, they didn't apologize enough to you. So
no,
I feel
not for the headaches and seizures.
I feel like you don't need to apologize to Nintendo.
That's another thing. Oculus Rift doesn't make me sick.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You can't even use a monitor sometimes.
No. We've had that discussion.
I think that, and this is kind of a deep thought, I guess, but without all the bad accessories, we wouldn't have the Oculus Rift. I feel like that...
Without failure, there wouldn't be success.
That's exactly how I feel about
it. Man, we're getting philosophical
it's
here.
Just a lot of... Get experienced. Get experienced with us. Let's kick off some of these worst accessories in the history of history.
What do you got for us?
We're going to start off with an oldie but a baddie. It was actually never produced.
Thank God.
They have the advertisements are ridiculous.
The ad is great. I know which one you're talking about. The ad is just great.
It's so bad.
That's why it didn't get released.
It's called the ASG Video Jukebox for the Sega Genesis. This was pitched at a $50 price point, and it, again, never produced, but it was going to be produced in 1994. It would allow you to plug, it would plug into your Sega Genesis, and then it would have this big cartridge bay underneath your Genesis that your Genesis would sit on top of. You'd put up to 6 games into this extension cabinet, and you could chain these. That's the thing. For $50 more, you could buy another one and chain them together. Up to 36 games could be in this video jukebox, and you could just push a button, and it would switch to that game cartridge. It would just simply, put the cartridge on the thing, but not actually have you take it out. So you were paying $50.
I'm going to say, so at first glance, this seems like a good idea. All your games are there. You just select which one you want. But then you realize to change the game in the console, you take it out and put a new one in.
Right.
That's not like a scientific process.
That's what it was preventing. You didn't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, but is that a $50 step that you want to get rid of?
Wave of the future. For $300, 36-year games that you never ever
now,
have to
move. Now, if
you
could play 36 games at one time, that would be amazing.
No, no. You didn't. That's the thing. It didn't, like, keep the... It didn't pause the game and switch it to another game. So, if you were, like...
No, it's just a hardware switch. It's it's like the AV switches you have, where he's like, ka-tunk, new AV section.
It was really, really... I guess... Because I remember being in junior high or high school, and we were thinking, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we could have, like, all of our discs in one big giant disc tray, and we would make a thing where it would open the thing and take the discs out and then put a new disc in whenever you wanted it. You could just yell out what disc you wanted. This was before the concept of having all your games just installed was a thing.
People weren't even thinking that way.
Right,
thanks,
right.
Gabe.
On consoles.
Yeah, either way.
Next one up, we got, I'm going to do this one, then Red Bear is going to take the next one. We got the Aura Interactor, and this was priced at $160 back in 1994, so that was some gaming money there. It was cross-platform, SNES.
I think that was like the price of my PlayStation 1.
Yeah, and well, back in the day, inflation was weird. Like, the SNES and the Genesis were about $200 to $250 back in the day. So $160 was a significant amount of money for an accessory, one that didn't really work that well. The whole point of the Aura Interactor, it was this vest, and you would put it on. And wearable technology has gotten way better from this.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you contact dermatitis now.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
other than that, it's gotten way better.
Other than that.
You're not strapping a subwoofer to your back.
The Interactor, you wore it like a vest, and it had a speaker in the chest plate. And whenever something would happen in the game, there was essentially a subwoofer in the chest plate that would thump and hit you in the chest.
Don't use this with pacemakers.
It would essentially allow you to be in the game. And 1994 technology.
It'll allow you to be in the game.
It would allow you to be in the game. But there was some weird things like.
You know what I'm picturing now? So, like, the idea is it thumps you in the chest or something. So I'm imagining strapping this to, like, my little brother that I don't have, and then just, like, playing Tekken or whatever,
there you go.
And just not trying.
Just putting it on bot mode and letting
him
go.
Yeah, just letting him get wailed on. I didn't hit him.
Mom.
I love their tagline. I'm looking at the box that this came in. The tagline is, "The machine that shook America."
Oh, that's nifty. You see what they did with the shaking and the speakers and the subbing?
Needs more wubs.
The problem...
I don't think they had enough wubs. That's the problem.
They didn't have speakers like we have speakers today. I have a big problem with game accessories like this where you can really only use them with... a few games. Like, you couldn't play Super Mario World with this, because every time you made a sound, it would be like, you know, hits you in the... And it's just like, come on, why? And some games I could see it working for. Other games, most games, I don't think it would work well for. Maybe that PS1, PS2, World War II simulation, you know, phase we went through as gamers, maybe then it would have been really good, but other than that, I don't know. So
Okay, now Matt's expecting me to move on to a different accessory, but I'm stuck on this one. You know they still make things like this.
Oh, do they?
It's called now the butt kicker.
Oh, yeah. I saw the butt kicker for, like, theater seating and for...
They make theater seating, but they also make a device, you strap it to the bottom of your chair.
Right.
And it's essentially the same thing that this is, and it just, like, kicks you in the butt whenever there's... sound.
They make them for really big sets of chairs where there's actually hydraulics that, like... It's a hydraulic piston that hits and causes a difference, causes a void of like a vacuum, and makes a big pop.
Wow, there's professional products. I'm going to assume their professional products are better than their consumer.
Well, it's something I think that can kill you. It's one of those things where if you've ever messed with really bad pneumatics or hydraulics, you probably don't. It's like taking apart an old TV. You don't want to take apart an old TV because...
Oh, no, just take it apart and just shove a screwdriver in there and play around.
50,000 volts in there somewhere.
That's good. Just lick the capacitors.
Anyway.
So I'll actually move on to the Sega Activator.
This thing. Oh,
seems like a genius idea. So it's basically this octagon that you stand in.
It was like UFC before UFC.
Yeah, it looks like UFC. Like, it's the ring from the top down, and it shot IR lights straight up. And the idea was you broke the plane with your hand or arm, and that was a motion.
Yeah.
So the idea is you play a fighting game or something, and you punch or kick, and it knows that, and it translates to the game. The only problem is it didn't.
It didn't work.
It didn't work at all.
Well, it wasn't like an all-in-one piece either. Like, it was eight separate pieces that you then assembled.
Yeah, you had to, like, connect together and to make this octagon. It worked with the Dragon Ball Z game, supposedly.
It was $80. I know it was big with Mortal, or was supposedly tagged as being great with Mortal Kombat 2 for the Genesis. $80. I guess if you had to spend $80 on some things, you could have spent your money worse other places. But, I mean, it could have been worse, I guess. I've never actually owned one of these. I didn't even own the Sega, to be honest. Have a Genesis now. Yeah. Anyway.
This is terrible.
Next, we've got Nintendo's robotic operating buddy.
This guy
has made a comeback in the Smash Brothers series.
Yes, he has.
But he is a joke accessory. I'm here to tell you. It was created in 1985, and it shipped with the Super Deluxe package of the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ooh,
it
for
was,
rich kids.
It was, yeah. It just didn't really work that well. It only was really supported with two games. And on top of that, it was a pain to assemble to make it work right. There were these two buttons, and essentially what happens is Rob would pick up a thing, and like a disc or whatever, one small piece you're going to lose one day and never be able to play with again. Then it would drop it on a red or a blue button, and he would play the game with you. And that's just not as fun as I think it was gimmicky. It was really gimmicky.
Yeah, I see what they were going for, but it didn't work.
Nintendo was trying to get big in North American markets, and robots were cool in the
80s. Because of things like XLR8.
Yes, exactly.
Now that was good. Yes. I mean, I guess that's not an accessory. It's an entire console game. I think they even have a game show made after that.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Things
we did with cassette tapes, dude.
Yeah, cassette tapes were awesome. The 2XL thing with, like, you would put a cassette tape in, and it was like a choose-your-own-story adventure thing.
Yeah, well, so that was the precursor to the XLR8.
Oh, was it?
Get it? You know,
nice.
Yeah, now you're catching on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next accessory is the PlayStation Mouse.
This thing again.
Two-button mouse with a PlayStation plug on the end instead of USB or PS2.
It seems like not a bad thing.
Well, okay, From a gaming perspective, at first you're like, yeah, that's one of the biggest problems with consoles is they don't have a mouse support.
Specifically now.
But like, I imagine someone thought about this a long time ago, and they're like, yeah, they're probably basically computers, just throw a mouse on it. Problem is the mouse sucked.
Yeah.
And didn't really, wasn't supported in hardly anything.
I think there were like maybe 30 games that had support, but I mean, there were games that you probably didn't want to play on your console anyway, like SimCity 2000, you know? SimCity 2000.
Panasonic actually made it.
It's
just terrible.
It's not the first mouse to be on a console.
Super Nintendo had a mouse
for Mario Paint.
And that's the only thing you ever used it with.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem I have with accessories in general. If you only have one use, there's a problem when you only have one use. Moving on, we've got the Negicon. It's like a PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 controller, and I think it's analog, so there's no actual, like,
It's
digital. No analog.
I was about to say it has the D-pad.
It's got the D-pad, and it's got the buttons, and in the middle, it pivots. It actually has an axis in the middle that allows you to pull the...
Pray tell, MG, why does it pivot?
It pivots because it's for racing games.
What?
It's for racing games, for acceleration, for just some analog accessibility.
I guess I see what they were thinking, but no.
But
it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Speaking of bad ideas, Nubby!
Yeah.
You know what Nubby is?
I do.
It's the Resident Evil chainsaw controller.
So this chipped with a GameCube. Resident Evil 4 was one of the best Resident Evil games out.
Yeah,
I mean, it was wildly successful.
On what they're doing today.
It was wildly successful, so much that they've re-released it on PS2, and I think they re-released it, or they are re-releasing it on either PS3 or PS4 or whatever. They're re-releasing it several times over.
So I'm looking at it on Amazon right now.
Yeah, how much is it on Amazon?
$150, I think.
I think it's like
$200.
Oh, wow. So
this one guy loves it. He says, well, it's a collector's item.
I mean,
I guess that's as far as you get with it.
I mean, it is a collector's item. They don't make them anymore.
Not as good or well made as the PlayStation 2 Red Chainsaw.
Yep. So they did have another version.
They did have another version, but still, you're at the end of the day, you're trying to play a controller that's a chainsaw, and there's a reason controllers are shaped the way they are.
I feel like this is one of those. It's like the Master Chief helmet from Halo 3.
No,
like you have it. You don't expect you can wear it. It's about the size of
I remember before they came out, that was highly debated. Yeah. Everyone would know if you could wear it. But I like the Master Chief helmet because I put all my Halo games in it.
I was about to say, it serves a purpose, and you put it on a shelf, and people
see
it. Yeah, it's
pretty, and they're like, oh, that's Master Chief. Sweet.
I don't believe there should be any functionality to this thing. You know, like, oh, it's a chainsaw. It came in a box. Cool. Let me play the game. Oh, I play it with the chainsaw?
That's what they could have made a cool chainsaw or something, and just,
right.
Like, that's it.
They could just, here's a battery-powered chainsaw.
Man, like the old Mattel things.
Whenever you can't get into your packages, use the battery-powered chainsaw to get
that
in.
That would
package.
Be amazing.
Because those are hard. Moving on, you know, the Wii has had its fair share of horrible adapters.
We could spend the next 3 hours talking about the Wii's horrible accessories.
We really can't, so we're going to just...
So we're going to condense this.
We're going to condense
this. The worst of the worst.
And I'm going to actually do both of the Wii ones together. The Wii car adapter. What? And
now back up. Well, go ahead and mention the next one.
And the Wii bowling ball.
All right, now back up. Wii car adapter.
Right.
Okay, now, in case you don't understand, this is a power plug for the Wii to plug it into your cigarette lighter.
Oh, all right.
So you could power the Wii.
You still need, like, a screen
in
and
your car.
Right. Well,
just give everyone a second to let that sink in. What's wrong with that, kids?
Well, I mean, so you would need a screen.
Okay, well, that's fair. PlayStation's been doing this for years.
Okay,
you get a screen. You get your screen. You duct tape it to the back of the car seat. Okay, we're
right. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that the Wii's big thing is that it's maybe like a motion-controlled system. Is that?
Oh, that could possibly be it.
I mean, you need...
Yeah,
first off,
I remember this came out, and we were in a dorm room, and everyone had black eyes by the end of
maybe,
the night.
Maybe if you put...
I'm just picturing kids flinging controllers
maybe
in the front of the car.
Maybe if you put the bar, like the sensor bar...
Yeah, where would you put the sensor bar?
I'm thinking like it's a big Dodge van, right? It's like awesome, right?
It has to be a caravan, Dodge caravan?
Yeah. You, with like the curtains and everything. The people in the back row could play.
If you take out the middle seats.
If you take out the middle seats.
And then, like, you can't legally, like, stand up in this thing.
Maybe it's like an RV, but RVs have inverters. Like, there's just no reason to have this.
It's ridiculous. And then the bowling ball that you just mentioned.
Yeah, so the bowling ball, like every Wii accessory, has that strap, you know?
Well, yeah, but like I said, the strap's there for a reason, and...
But it can break.
We already had an issue with people flinging controllers at it, so why don't we give them a bowling ball to now throw at their TV?
Yeah, that's it's weird.
Got good reviews on Amazon, by the way.
I mean, I can't imagine
four
they still sell it.
Oh, $17. Yeah.
$17. Oh, well.
Get it from CTA Digital
today. I don't like it.
Since we're on Nintendo, how about that Super Scope?
Yeah, the Super Scope.
You'd be hating on my Super Scope.
Super Scope or the Super Scope Bazooka.
Yeah, the Bazooka. Well, okay, but here's the thing with the Super Scope Bazooka. I guess as a console accessory, it was terrible, but we had so much fun with it. We just played, like, I guess, terrorists and spacemans.
Play spaceman's terrorists.
Yeah, spaceman's terrorists. And, like, it was it's an awesome-looking controller. You never used it with the console.
We are going to go and move on. Keep with the Nintendo vibe, honestly.
Man, Nintendo, you've made some bad accessories.
The NES U-Force. This looked like a half of a game of Battleship. And
oh, yes.
It's like an
U-Force.
Open laptop. And what you do is you connect it to the NES, and you have your TV in front of it. And whenever you need to do something, there are these lines, and you throw your hand towards these zones. And the idea is that there's perpendicular, you know, infrared zones that you will cut into, and that will result in a different move, a different action being taken in the game, except that it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, now, this is an interesting point. So that didn't work, and that was 1989.
Right.
So I didn't realize how long Nintendo's been trying to make motion control
a thing.
They've
been doing it for a while, yeah.
Like, a long time.
And even before that, the Activator was doing it in 94. And,
well, obviously, this is 89.
Afterwards. So.
How do dates work?
Oh, man. Time's hard.
You need to get out of the DeLorean, man.
We're going to wrap up our section with our favorite. Overall, our favorite for the worst.
I think it's everyone's favorite.
The worst, the best worst accessory.
Oh, man.
It's more of a fashion statement right now.
It's so bad.
We have Power Glove.
Power Glove.
Power Glove from Nintendo. This thing, I don't even know where to begin. This thing is like, it's so good to hate on it, but you know what?
Again, released 1989. Officially licensed through Nintendo. Although Nintendo was actually not involved in the design. I did not know that.
No, I didn't know. What was it?
Yeah,
was it Nyko?
Rather, it was designed by Grant Gobble and Samuel Some Dude.
Oh, okay. Some Dude.
From Age Entertainment.
From the Boston Some Dudes.
And then was produced by Mattel in the United States.
Oh, okay.
PAX in Japan.
Figures Mattel would do that.
Yeah, thanks, Mattel.
For those that don't know, it's a glove that has a controller integrated to it and a little bit extra functionality, like a turbo controller, mega turbo controller. And your punches and everything, those had actions in some games.
In some games.
It wasn't really well received in the Americas. And on it wasn't even very accurate. It didn't respond well. It was hard to keep your hand out. And
well, yeah, we found out that gets tiring.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. And you know what? People, I'm going to say this. People weren't as fat back in the 80s. Kids were still playing outside with sticks and lawn darts.
It's because they hadn't got motion controllers down yet.
Right. So I mean.
And this, it was featured in a movie, The Wizard.
Oh, yeah,
awesome.
That's what made
movie.
It famous. That's what
and
made
that
it famous.
So bad.
We'll go ahead and we'll put a clip of that in there. But before the show ends, we're going to go ahead and we're actually going to play a song by Power Glove. Not Power. You see what we did?
The Power Glove didn't write a song.
You see what we did?
It was
amazing.
No,
this is the artist Power Glove. This is Night Force by Power Glove. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points.
Welcome back to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm Red Bear.
And I'm MG, and that was Power Glove with Night Force. We're out of time, but before we're all the way out of time, we're like mostly out of time. Like time.
Before they literally drag us out of the studio.
I've been watching enough Doctor Who to know that time can't really run out.
Wibbly wobbly spacey wacy.
Timey wimey bits.
Yeah.
We have a website. And you should definitely check it out. Bear, what's that website?
Yeah, txppoints.com. Double tap that P.
And what's that Facebook?
That's facebook.com/experiencepoints. Learn to spell. Get there.
We are doing some fantastic stuff in the internets. We are producing videos, reviews, news, great little discussion pieces, mini-casts, and podcasts alike. And we're actually working on a really awesome, cool new podcast that... Oh, you want to tell them about it, Bear? Should we tell them?
Let's tell them.
All right, so...
Tell them.
I'm sorry. We're gonna waste a little bit of time telling you about
this
podcast.
All right, hurry. Let's get it.
They're
staring at us through the windows.
We have the Experience Points radio show. You know this,
Bear. I've been here.
We are about to start a monthly podcast called Experience Points Reflections. And on Reflections, we're just calling it Reflections for now. And that's a working title. We could change it later. On Reflections, what we do is throughout the month, we watch a series. We choose a series to watch collectively as an Experience Points crew. And there will be more people involved. We're not going to tell you their names yet. But we'll watch a season or whatever, the entire series, rather. Currently, I'm going through Battlestar Galactica again.
Oh, my God.
I know it's so good. I've got a few people watching
it
with me.
It's real.
At the end of watching that entire series, it'll have to be before the end of the month, we will meet, we will produce and discuss, or discuss and produce, rather, an hour and a half to 2 hour long podcast for that month. Initially, we'll tell you whether you should watch it or not. And then afterwards, we're going to say, if you haven't watched it, go and watch it, because everything following that is just going to be us exploding on the microphone about how fantastic it is. So in Battlestar Galactica's case, should you watch it? Yes.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
If you're not getting the fracking references, then you need to watch it.
If you've already seen it, you should be watching it again. In fact, you should never take more than a 3 month like hiatus from watching Battlestar Galactica. It should be continuous. Other, you know, shows that we'll watch: Stargate SG-1, Star Trek: The Next Generation, Farscape. We'll watch a lot of science fiction, but we can watch other shows too. So that's what we're going and doing right now. Experience Points Reflections. Check it out. And if you have any, you know, comments, concerns, complaints, just something you want to talk to us about,
to reflect on.
You can do that. You just throw up the comments.
Just do it.
Go to the facebook.com/experiencepoints page, and you just write some comments. And we're going to be there to answer them. So I guess that's really about it. You have anything else to add, Bear?
I don't. We are good tonight. We better get out of here because I think they're calling the cops to drag us away.
They are. We're going
to
end on two songs. We're going to end on Light Up the Night by the Proto Men and Critical Hit by MC Frontalot, because I don't think we'd have a show without some MC Frontalot.
Nah.
We went a couple shows without the Proto Men, and I feel bad about it. So
yeah, but I mean, can't do it without MC Frontalot.
This is going to be Light Up the Night by Proto Men, Critical Hit by MC Frontalot. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on
Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.